everybody. This is Tracy, and I'm delighted you've joined me for this episode of Good Life Stories. I created this podcast because I believe we are all seeking connection, and what better way to do that than through story? So get ready. These stories are meant to suck you in. Welcome to Good Life Stories. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Good Life Stories. This is your host, Tracy Crowley. And we are back again with Patrick Almond. And in this section, you get to hear from Patrick about if you are going to start a business, what are the things you need to understand about marketing that you may or may not even know to ask?
Okay, so I'm gonna jump in on another side. So one of my favorite questions to ask people is what their superpower is. And I love that you put making complicated topics simple. What kind of complicated topics do you feel you're really good at making simple?
If I was trying to explain like Facebook ads to Tracy right now, number one, it would take a couple of days. And it would go very deep into some things, and Tracy's ads might glaze over like an hour or two into it. But what I would do is I would put on my teaching hat and I would say, Tracy, you want to do Facebook ads? Let me explain it to you in 10 or 15 minutes. And that will be probably, 50% of what you need to know, just to know that if you hire someone else to do it, they aren't ripping you off. So whether it's really complicated things like advertising or software development, I'm a recovering, coder. I've cut my teeth. I've been coding since probably I was 10.
Nice.
And I have to say I'm recovering because at my particular age with a couple of decades under my belt, I don't want to code anymore. But whether it's coding or whether it's business metrics, I've got a big client out of Florida where we have to explain business metrics every single week. And I, for lack of a better term, I dumb them down as much as possible. This is how much money we brought in. This is how much we spent on ads. This is our profit. Any questions? And then if they have questions, I can go deeper. But, there are certain people you work with in business, and I tend to be a good bridge between the super, super technical people and the C-suite. And, you looked at my history, and I spent some time at a car rental company, a yellow and black car rental company. And 5 days, was I doing this 5 days a week, or was I doing it 1 day a week? I think it was 1 day a week on Monday morning. I had to go in and give an executive vice president of technology at that particular company, whose name we shall not say. I had to give them a briefing of how the business had been doing over the past week. And this is a C-suite person. This person doesn't care about bits or bytes or things like that. They want to know, are the computers up and running? Did we have problems? What projects are we working on? So I made sure that particular, when I was in that particular meeting, I talked as high level as possible. So he could walk out of there and have a very good idea of what's going on and not be overwhelmed by numbers. So that's kind of where I cut that teeth on that is just being able to take complicated technology, because we both know there's so much technology and it's growing so fast.
Yeah.
AI, I've had to explain to people how AI worked a little bit because that's a complicated topic and it's going to infiltrate our lives more and more. Every tool out there, including my email software where I check my email, has like built-in AI ability now. It's like, okay, I guess I better get good at this. I just don't know where I got that skill, but maybe it's the fact that I just know that the work I do is really complicated, and I just want people to understand it and be comfortable with it. And as you know, when also dealing with our parents, sometimes, technology can be a challenge. So I love my mom. My mom lives up in Gig Harbor by you, but when I go to visit her, Tracy, I got to make sure I don't talk to her about Ethernet or Wi-Fi speeds or the different kinds of Wi-Fi. My mom wants to be able to turn on her computer and check her email.
Yep.
And everything above and beyond that she doesn't care about and she should not have to care about. So if I'm talking to Tracy about technology and my Mac and my SMTP provider and my IMAP and all this stuff, I don't mention those terms at all to my mom.
Yeah.
I'm like, if my mom again just wants to open up the computer and have it turn on, that's where I think I just learned that skill of just having to teach people technology, and I don't want them to glaze over when I talk to them.
Yeah, well, and I feel like what you shared with your work at the rental car company. I mean, just every single week having that cadence of, I have a ridiculous amount of information to convey to this person, and I have 20 minutes of their attention. mm-hmm. if you're lucky, you know, yeah. and just doing that over and over and over again, because you got it, you had kind of that iterative process of a test and repeat, like, oh, I spent too long talking about this, or I gave them too much on that and they glazed over, you know, just like you were talking about. I feel like I love that piece where you were talking about trying to explain Facebook ads to me, because I feel like that's something that even if people have never tried to buy one, we experience them and we mm-hmm. understand that there's a whole bunch of data in there. And if you've ever gone in to try and optimize one, you see like how many choices there are. And it's like, whoa. And understanding that like you have a depth of knowledge to be able to explain that to someone on a short basis so that mm-hmm. you can build that trust of how do I make sure I'm not getting screwed doing this? Right. And then also, you know, if I had a more in-depth question that I know that you could segment that out in small pieces, in small doses, like you could give it to me, like I have a question about audience selection. You could help mm-hmm. me with just that. And you wouldn't go all the way down the rabbit hole. You'd go probably right. as you've refined that questioning skill set. I love hearing that because that's yeah. such a really great talent to have honed over mm-hmm. time.
And really quick, I've also been told that I'm good at this when it comes to, I do like a lot of local news stories. Like if someone does something on social media, one of the local affiliates will call me and I'll go over there. We'll record 5 minutes of video about a topic, and then they use like 10 seconds of it on the news. So just even working in like media, I've learned you have to be small and concise because, you know, everyone in news talks on sound bites.
Yeah.
I can't give somebody a giant long 2 minute explanation about how they got scammed on social media. I have to be able to say that in 15 or 20 seconds. You know what? When someone calls you and they have an Indian accent and they ask for your credit card number, stop people, hang up the phone. Period. Yeah. And that's all you get on the news. I don't have to explain right. how they scam you or how they remote into your computer or how they pretend to set up like a fake Amazon site and so you yeah. can put in your credit card number. If someone calls you, ask for a credit card number, hang up. Period. Yeah. There we go.
That's great advice. Ta-da, sage advice for today. I love yeah. it. So I always ask what your favorite quote, saying, or poem is. So I'm just going to have you say it because when you were saying you were responding to these quickly, I know you had this right off the top of your head.
Yeah. So is this the action one?
Yeah, action is the okay. great thing.
Right. So thank you. Let me find it in the email I sent you so I get yeah. it right. No, I can do it off the top of my head. So in response to Tracy's question, action is the great thing that escapes most people. You know what? I'm going to give the long version, Tracy.
Yeah.
Action is the great thing that escapes most people. And by that, what I mean is we all have good ideas in life and very few people execute them. I would imagine there are probably people that live all around Tracy who have thought, oh, I should start a podcast. I really should. And they talked about it a year ago and 6 months ago and 3 months ago, and they still haven't done it. And here you guys are listening to Tracy who said, you know what? I'm going to take the first step and do it. And she got it done. So in life, we just all talk about good things. But if you can be someone who executes, even this gets back to what we were talking about earlier. If we can get someone who executes in small iterative steps to improve, you'll get a lot further in life. So to rip off of the entire phrase, action is the great thing that escapes most people. Great ideas are a dime a dozen. Great actions are few and far between. Which one will you have today? Meaning great actions or great ideas. So that's my favorite phrase I keep coming back to.
And I love, you know, when we think about which one will you have today? You know, mm-hmm. that's, I love this because when I read it, I'm like, oh, this is like, if I could boil down your business to one thing, it's this mm-hmm. because it's talking about execution. It's mm-hmm. not talking about, do you have the next best big idea? It's right. what are you doing right now about whatever the idea is you're testing out? You know, because when they run the numbers on overnight success, they say the average time it takes to have that happen is 13 years.
That's true.
Statistically, wow. that's what they've run it out to. Anyone who is labeled yep. as an overnight success has usually been at it for about 13 years, which means 13 wow. years ago, they started failing at something. You know, I have a good friend who has a really successful underwear company now that started mm-hmm. out by trying to make a really good shirt. Mm-hmm. They don't make shirts now at all. At least like the button-down type that she started right. with. You know, it was the, where did you start? And then they just started paying attention to what people wanted and right. leaned into that. And I love that. you know, knowing that you can just keep doing it over and over and over again. And then I ask, so if you could get one thing done in the next year, what would that be?
Okay. So one of the things I've, as I transition from marketing to teaching people, I've always liked to call people that get things done playmakers.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the process of launching a membership site where, you know, people are going to invest monthly with me, but it's going to be a group of playmakers where we have private discussions and I help people build what I call execution plans, not, you know, not goals, not the, but let's build a plan of execution, you know, the whole thing where you, you know, you set goals and you work backwards, but I really want that word execution in action, everything I do. So if I get something done in the next year, it would be getting 100 members in my, you know, probably like in the kickoff level of my Playmakers Club. And I'll have some other additional things you can buy above and beyond there. But I really want to create a tribe called Playmakers. And that's what I want to, that's what I'm trying to launch right now.
I love that idea. There's so much about that, that, you know, I see such a real demand for not really accountability. Like I feel like an accountability partner is the person who's kind of mean to you if you don't get something right. You know, they're not, you know, they're not really your teammate. They're kind of it. And some people function in that world differently. And that might say more about me than anything else. But like, when you describe a playmaker, like when you describe having an execution matrix, you know, it's focusing on what did you get done? Like not the punishing, but making sure that you're actually breaking something down enough that you understand the steps. Cause I feel like that's the thing. Like when I talk to people about making a to-do list, like if you have something that is on your to-do list that has not made it to the to-done list, you know, it's probably because you haven't identified all the steps associated with it. Like for me, I have a costume that I'm working on costumes I'm going to be making for my son and two of his friends to wear to a festival that's coming up. And they're fairly simple costumes, but it was, you know, I had it written down. I'm like, I need to do this. But then it was the, oh, wait a minute. Like, I got to break this into like the five things that are here. Like, I got to go find the fabric. I got to go get their measurements. I need to, you know, all the different pieces of that. And even if it's just breaking it down, and I tell people like, don't overwhelm yourself by writing, you know, all 40 steps of it down. Even if you understand there are 40 steps, you know, just start with the first two. And get the first one done, because then you can take the next one. Because if you don't do the first one, you're never going to get the other 39 finished anyways.
Exactly.
So, you know, that, and that's what I hear in your Playmaker. I hear that start, you know?
Exactly. You know? Yeah. People that you, as you get older in life, you know, you, and as we both are, you just learn how life really works and what life rewards. And life rewards people who take imperfect action. I mean, they really do. There was something else I was going to say about that. Oh, goodness gracious. It just slipped out of my head. Here's another example. I work a lot with people, a lot of coaches and people who build courses. And, you know, I may come across a coach. It's like, here, I've got an idea for a course, but I have to get all 20 lessons done before I start selling my course. And I tell people, work on lesson one. Then go back and work on the marketing, start getting some sales in, then you can work on lesson 2 through 20. Don't think you have to have, you know, lesson 1 through 20 perfectly done before you start selling the darn thing. I see people all the time selling stuff they haven't even started to create yet, but they're building up the momentum. They're building up the marketing. They're building up the wait list. They're building up the interest is what they're doing. And that's what you got to do. I mean, marketing, another phrase of mine, which I really love is, because I'm so deep in marketing, is, a poor product marketed well will make more money than an amazing product with poor marketing. And that's one of the reasons I got into marketing, is because marketing is everything. McDonald's does not have the greatest hamburgers, let me tell you. But they market the things very well, though. So,
well, but it's what you have there, you know, with McDonald's is they are consistent. Right. Their brand is consistent. It's not amazing. It's consistent. You know, in pretty much every McDonald's that you stop at, it will be the same experience.
Exactly.
And that's why people pull off the freeway, because they're like, it's a McDonald's. I know what that experience is going to be.
Right.
You know, all the things there.
All right.
And then the last thing is, if you could shine a spotlight on one thing right now, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And you put getting politics out of us to is moving as a society.
I'm trying to remember what I just typed to Tracy like 10 minutes ago. My wife works in politics, and I'm around politics. Oklahoma tends to be a red state. Yeah. And as soon as I said that, as soon as people are listening to this podcast and I say that, people have an instant judgment. When I say something is red or something is blue or something is Democratic or something politics, if you're someone who is very vested in politics, you will instantly love me or you will instantly hate me. Because that's what we've become in this country, is everything is governed by our political party. I am a Democrat or I am a Republican. And what I like to say is I happen to be a member of the Democratic Party. However, I don't believe necessarily in the platform. I'm just a guy who wants to do good in this world, and I would do it if I was a Democrat, a Republican, a liberal, a conservative. I just want to do good. And if we could get, you know, if we could get the politics out of just good people wanting to do good things, we could get a lot more accomplished. But again, yes. if I walk into an elevator, we're talking about business, and a guy's like, Patrick, that elevator pitch you gave me was amazing. I want to pay you $10,000 a month for marketing advice. And I go, great. And I shake his hand and he's like, man, you're going to fit right in with us with, you know, our great state, the great Republican Party. And I'm like, well, I'm a Democrat. If that person likes me, but they decide not to do business with me because of my political party, that person is kind of valuing their political association over their business and their personal stuff. And I really want to get the politics out of what we do in the world. Let's just be focused on improving the country and the planet that we're in. And, you know, political party be damned. And yeah. I thought I learned, my beliefs became even stronger on this as I became a lover of Hamilton. And I am absolutely in love with that musical. And it's just amazing when you see the origination of our politics and how we just one day someone decided I want to form a different political party so I can hate the other side. So that's the long version of the short answer I gave you there. If we're talking about schools or teacher salaries, let's do it independent of political party. Let's just do the right thing, regardless of political party. That's what I was trying to say there.
Yeah. You know, and I so see that in my, I have family that have been in politics as well. And I feel like if you've seen that slice of the world, I feel like you have a different, deeper understanding of the people who get into politics, mm-hmm. you know, for the good and the bad, you know, the people that you're like, oh my gosh, I don't ever want to see you again. And then you have the other people that you're like, wow, I can't believe you're giving up all of this to go do that for us. You know, like there's both flavors everywhere. And I'm 100% like that. We have friends all over the spectrum. And I remind people, you know, like, the way I'm going to value you is by how you treat me, how you treat others, and how you show up in the world. I don't care beyond that.
Right.
Because I shouldn't. That's not the important thing. The important thing is how we engage and are together. You know, and I feel like that's one of the things that for me was so high on my list for wanting to have you join me on my podcast, because I wanted more people to find you because your messaging is so fair, consistent, and inspiring, like just all the time.
Oh,
so I
wow.
have That's more great. People that I've aimed
I'll there. I'll have to get up to Redmond and get you a cup of coffee for that whole statement.
That would be awesome. I would love that, Patrick.
I also like to tell people when it came to politics, I kid you not, I picked my political party by flipping a coin when I was in line at the Department of Motor Vehicles because I just didn't care. Yeah. And here in Oklahoma, that's where you set your political party, is where you get your driver's license.
Oh, that's funny.
So the first time I picked my political party, I picked independent because I thought independent meant independent.
Meant independent. No, yeah.
It's there's a political party called independent. I didn't know that. That's how ignorant I am.
Yeah.
And then the second time around, I flipped a coin in line and I said head Democrats, tails Republican. It came up heads. Bam.
Ta-da!
I'm a Democrat. Exactly. So yeah. But if we can get the politics out of it, and I'm around teachers a lot, and you know, teachers just want to make more money. And they really don't care who's in power. They just want to make more money and they deserve more money.
They want to be able to do their jobs and take care of the kids, period. Right. You know, like just let them do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. They don't have to worry about the politics. And I've gone to a local teacher kind of strike at the Capitol here. And it was just amazing how biased people were when it came to political party. And that's just something I think holds us back a little bit. And if I could do anything in there in the world to get politics out of what we're doing to improve the planet and the country and our kids and our teachers, I'll do it in a heartbeat.
Me too. As I feel like the one thing I share with people a lot is I find that if people have a strong bias on politics, it just limits your conversation. I love talking to people that I disagree with because that hones my belief. If you believe something completely different than I do, I have to sit there and reflect and say, oh, like I haven't thought about it that way. And sitting in your shoes and looking and saying, oh, maybe I should look at this differently. And maybe I won't change my mind, but I sure am going to have a lot more respect for how you got to your opinion, just like the way I got to mine.
That's so great to hear that you think that way. And the last thing I'll say on politics is I've never found somebody who is a diehard, pick your party, whatever, that 100% believes in their platform. So even people in politics, you know, I can find the Democrat. You can't find the Democrat who believes 100% of what the platform is supposed to be, or Republican. So even inside of parties, there's like sub-parties and stuff. And I'm like, oh, whatever. Let's just do good work and screw the party talk.
Exactly. Just go do good work. Be good people.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for joining me today. I can't say thank you enough times. And I look forward to, if we can on your next visit, having a cup of coffee. I'll come down to Gig Harbor and meet you there.
Got it. I appreciate it. It's been a bit of pleasure. And everyone, make sure you obviously, you know, like and subscribe her stuff. She's doing some great work here. And sounds like she's having some great people on. And that's no testament to myself. It's just to the other people that she interviews. So.
Yeah, I'll just close it out. Thank you, Patrick, because for me, it's just, you know, remembering, you know, we'll put all of Patrick's links in the show notes. You know, please follow him. Just look up Stop Doing Nothing and just type that into Google and you'll find everything you need about how to get a hold of him. But just thanks again for joining me, Patrick. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great day, Tracy.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Good Life Stories. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please visit our website at goodlifestories.com for more show notes and additional episodes. Please subscribe and consider rating and reviewing the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts to help others connect to us. Who do you know with a good life story? I would love to hear from you. Good Life Stories, creating connection, one story at a time.